of talks that I could give while I was here. And one of them was a talk that I gave like 6 weeks ago, and one of them was a talk that I gave like 3 months ago, and one of them was a talk I gave like 2 years ago that I didn't have the notes with me in America. Guess which one's tonight is. Yeah, so we'll be all right. It'll be all right. It should be good. I want to start out by asking you a question. Does God want you to change? You might sort of just knee-jerk say, well, yes, of course. God wants us to change. That's an obvious answer. Well, I want to think about it a little bit more deeply than that. Does God want us to change our behaviors? 100%, yes. We look in the Bible. If you want to turn with me over to Ephesians 4, I think one of the most powerful passages that looks at this, although definitely not the only passage that looks at this, we could start anywhere. We're going to start in verse 25 in Ephesians 4. Having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. So don't just stop lying, start speaking the truth. Verse 28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his own hands so that he has something to share with anyone in need. Like, it's really interesting that modern psychology recognizes that you can't just get rid of a bad behavior, you have to replace it with something, or it'll just come back. And it's like, well, God sort of knew that a long time ago, like, because he made us, right? And that's what Paul's talking about here. We need to change our behaviors. Sorry, I didn't say this earlier, but Dan, I don't have any cool animations. And in fact, I don't even have anything. You guys are just going to turn your Bibles tonight. But I think we're going to make it. I thought the animation was really cool, though. I was really jealous. I was watching it, and I was like, what am I going to do tonight? The only animations I have are my face, so that's all you get. Let's look at another thought. Okay, so does he want us to change? Yeah, he wants us to change our behaviors. Does he want us to change the way that we think, our mindset? Absolutely. Let's go over to Romans 12. Again, we could look at a number of passages here, but this is probably one that all of you thought of, or several of you might have thought of at once. Romans 12, verse 2. Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How does God transform us? By the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern. That's being able to understand, be able to think through what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God wants me to change my behaviors. He wants me to change the way I think, but does God want me to change who I am? No, I really don't think so. He doesn't want me to stop being Ed and start being somebody else. And there is probably a small percentage of people in here that are going, duh, I've never wanted to be anybody else. I've never wanted to be any different. But I think for a lot of us, there are parts about ourselves that we really don't like and we wish we could change, and maybe we have wasted huge amounts of energy trying to change, praying to God saying, please change this in me. And what I want us to think about tonight is that what God really wants for us, or does he want something different for us? And I want us to spend some time thinking about that tonight. Just a couple of passages so you don't think I'm just kind of pulling that idea out of thin air about that God doesn't want you to change the fundamental core of who you are. Why would he? He made you. Ephesians 2:10 says what? It says that each of us are God's workmanship. It's like he was out in his shed working on you. That sounds like I'm making it like it's not that big a deal, but I actually think it's like this really cool image that God worked on you. Psalm 139, right? How does David talk about his relationship with God that started before David was even thinking, when he was still in the womb? I laugh with the kids because there's a gelato place near where we live. Do you guys know what gelato is? It's like Italian fancy ice cream. And their sign says, handcrafted artisanal gelato. And I'm like, come on. It's ice cream. Like, they make it sound like it's like this like leather bag, or like, you know, like like some amazing like hardwood, you know, sculpture, and you've made ice cream. You know, but like when we look in Psalm 139, David says words like handcrafted and artisanal, they pale. They're not sufficient to talk about what God has done to make you. We don't have words in our language or any language to talk about God's creative process in making you. That's the type of value that he places on each one of us. And I think it's important for us to see that the way that David sees it, so that we're not sort of thinking ourselves in a way that God doesn't think of us. We need to avoid that and be seeing ourselves the way that God sees us and be valuing ourselves the way that God sees us. I want us to go, want you to go back with me to Ephesians 4, because you may be thinking of this passage. There's a few other passages like it, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, that sort of talk about this big change that we undergo when we become Christians. So the 2 Corinthians 5 passage talks about us becoming a new creation. Ephesians 4:22 says that we have put off our old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That sounds familiar. It's Romans 12 again. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. But I would really argue that these passages, while they do talk about this big transformation, they're not, again, saying that Samuel needs to become like me. It's that Samuel needs to totally give himself to God. He needs to be renewed in a godlike way. And I need to be renewed in a godlike way. I don't need to try to be like somebody else. And I think that this is really important for us to move forward in the way that we think. God wants us to live a redeemed life. He doesn't want us to waste our time and energy trying to be somebody else. And I think this whole talk that was originally a Bible study was born out of so many discussions with people who did not like themselves, and who I would spend time with them, praying with them and talking with them, and they so desperately wanted to be somebody other than themselves, and they could not see how God felt about them. So if he doesn't want us to change, if he doesn't want me to change who I am, what does he want? What does God want for each of us? Well, I want to take a sidestep for a second, because I think this is a really important thing to recognize when we have this conversation, that the world that we live in is not the very good place that God created it to be. I think that's a really important thing to acknowledge. When God created everything in Genesis 1, he looked at it and said that it is very good. That's not the world that we live in today. I think it's a biblical world to use the word fallen. I don't feel great about using that word because it's got a lot of denominational baggage that I don't mean when I say that word, so I don't use that word very much. I tend to use the word broken, but whatever word you want to use, we don't live in the same world of Genesis 1, right? So we humans can be broken in all sorts of ways. Sometimes we can be broken physically, we can be broken mentally, we can be broken emotionally. Some people are born this way. Some of our brokenness is born from trauma or from illnesses, or there can be other things. And I think this is a really important thing for us to acknowledge as Christians, because I think too often, you know, we can, as well-meaning as it can be, we can just kind of tell people, oh, if you would just pray a little harder, or, you know, things like that. And we just sort of, we unintentionally just kind of give somebody a pat on the shoulder and say, it'll be okay, buddy. And we don't let people know that we're with them in that moment when they're struggling with something. But this world has its struggles. And it's important to acknowledge that. And so I just want you to know that I'm acknowledging that. And I want you to know that God did not want this for you, but that you and God can deal with whatever you're facing. You and God can deal with it together. That is something that's possible. So that's really important to acknowledge. So what does he want for us? Well, I think first and foremost, The thing that we need to think of that God wants for us is God wants to redeem you. If you are not a Christian, God wants to buy you back. He wants you to be part of his family. If we go over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, if you're new to your Bible, John is between the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. Those are two big books. You ought to be able to find it. If you're a football fan, you see this one put up all the time, but you maybe have never read it. John 3, 16 says, God so loved the world. You ever thought about that Jesus says he so loved the world? He didn't just say he so loved Israel. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus came to save people, and you are one of those people. So if you're not a Christian, God wants to buy you back from yourself, from sin. And that can happen as early as tonight. If you want to be baptized, that can happen. I don't want anybody to get too excited. I'm not about to finish. This is like an invitation in the middle of a talk, not at the end of the talk. Some people are probably getting really amped up. But you know, you can have an invitation anytime. Like, it doesn't have to be at the end. But you could be saved tonight if you want to be. You could be baptized tonight if you want to be. Because God wants to redeem you. That's the thing he wants for all people. If you are a Christian, I want you to kind of think about the fact that your salvation is kind of a one-off thing. It's an immediate thing that happens when you come to Jesus, when you're baptized in his name, when you receive the Spirit, you're saved. Paul is unequivocal at the end of Romans 8 that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. But I think it's interesting to kind of think about, I kind of think about redemption and repentance together, that it's like, over the course of my life, I am slowly finding things about myself that I haven't totally handed over to God. It's like something happens in my life and I'm like, nah! And then I'm like, I pray about it and I look at it and I'm like, whoa, Ed, where did that come from? And I got to pray about it and I got to talk to the other person and I got to go to God and say, I didn't even know this was in there. Or maybe I did know it was in there and I didn't want to hand it over, but I want to hand it over now, God. And I'm sorry. And I go to the other person and I say, I'm sorry. And I say, here, God, take this. Take this part of me that I've been holding on to all this time. And he says, oh, that's all right. I'll redeem that part. And it's not like I'm more saved after that moment. Like, I want you to hear something I'm not saying. But he's just constantly accepting my repentance every time I turn back to him. And he's constantly reshaping me. Some of the guys that I've worked with in rehab, I talked to them about, we're like a junkyard car that God bought and he's fixing us up. And like, I'll sometimes joke with them. I'm like, oh, what part is he working on today? And they're like, oh, you know, like he's kind of buffing out the fender, you know, whatever it is, you know, like whatever they're feeling that day. Because God's always working on us. So if you're a Christian, he's still wanting you to continue to turn to him and give yourself over to him day after day after day. It's not a one-off thing to keep turning back to God. I think the other thing that God wants for us is he wants us to accept ourselves. I think one of the most challenging sentences in the Bible is Romans 15:7. In Romans 15:7, it says that we are to accept one another as Christ accepted us. So next Sunday morning, we are going to look at the difference between accepting each other and judging each other, because we're told to accept each other and we're told a bunch of times not to judge each other. And we're going to look at what do our relationships look like when we accept, and what do our relationships look like when we judge. So if you don't want to hear that, maybe go somewhere else next Sunday. But I hope you do want to hear that. And I hope you come, because that's what we're going to talk about next Sunday. But I think that being able to accept others begins with being able to accept myself. And so we need to begin to look at ourselves the way God looks at us. And I would really encourage you, if you're a person that really struggles with the way you think about yourself, maybe a place to begin, if you've got a little bit of time this week to yourself, is to just think about how much like emotional energy do you spend thinking about and worrying about and trying to change the core of who you are. Because the reality is that person doesn't change. So I had like this moment, I don't know how long ago this was. This was like 19 years ago, 20 years ago. We were living in Atlanta, so I hadn't moved to Australia yet. And mom called me, and she's like, hey, I was cleaning out this closet, and I found like a bunch of your stuff, and I'm going to send it down to you. I got a box of stuff I'm going to send down to you. And I was like, okay. And so I get this box, and I'm going through it. It has like all like my elementary school report cards in it. And I'm an adult. And I'm like looking through these report cards, and all of my elementary school teachers, like first grade, it's like, Eddie talks too much. And second grade, it's like, I can't get Eddie to stop talking long enough to focus. And, you know, fourth grade, if Eddie would stop talking, maybe he would get better grades, you know, and it's just like on and on and on and on and on, right? And it sounds stupid, but I was just kind of like, it like got me down. Like, I was just, because I was like, I'm like 30-something. I don't remember how old I was then. No, I was like 34, I guess. And I was like, I still talk a lot. And I was like, I haven't changed. Like, what's wrong with me? This is pathetic. And I had like a men's group at our church, like, that we studied together. And it just happened we were, like, having a Bible study at my house that night. And these guys come over, and they could tell I was kind of like, ugh. You know, and like we had our Bible study, and then like we would always like pray together afterwards. And one of the guys was like, hey man, what's going on? And I told him, I was like, it sounds stupid. I feel like an idiot, but I told him. And one of the guys was like, yeah man, you talk too much, but you know, you're mainly talking about Jesus, you know, so it's cool. And like, I was just like, yeah. And it's like, if you just learn to accept yourself, like if you're introverted, don't spend all your time wishing you were extroverted. Because you're not going to be. And God didn't make a mistake making you a person that is quiet. Quiet people are good. I know a young woman, I'm not going to call her name because she would be embarrassed, that she comes to me all the time, like after worship service, and she goes, hey, did you notice so-and-so? They seemed like they were really struggling and down. And I'm like, what? Because I didn't notice. I was talking. You know? And like, I'll like text the person or call them, or next time I see him, I'll say something to him. And she was right. They were like really upset, or if something was bothering them, or they were worried about something. And like me getting in touch with them, I could pray with them and help them and talk to them and everything. But like, I didn't notice. If it was just me, I would have never noticed that. Like, value who you are, because who you are is good, because God made you that way. So instead of worrying about what you aren't and desperately trying to be what you're not, do what you can do. Accept yourself and then do what you can do. Do what God gave you, right? There's a guy in our congregation that for years, he's like my age, he's actually a little bit older than me. For years, he has beaten himself up because he literally has a panic attack if somebody tells him to do anything publicly. Like, he is terrified of leading a public prayer. Just like simply getting up, he can read just fine, but like getting up and reading a scripture reading is absolutely terrifying to him. But he can fix anything and will. He'll go to people's houses, like uninvited. Like if he's over at some old lady's house and he sees she has a problem, he comes over the next day and he fixes it without her asking, right? He like has Bible studies with people on the mine site where he works. He does all kinds of amazing things, but every time I talk to him, he's beating himself up because he doesn't do public things at the worship service. And I keep saying to him, it's fine, bro. You're doing great things. Quit worrying about what you're not doing and just love what you are doing, because I promise you, God loves what you're doing, right? So we need to accept who we are, because God has. So in an ideal world, I don't know if you live in one of those, in an ideal world, you would only struggle with you. Like, you might struggle to not judge yourself and accept yourself, but everybody else would accept you for who you are. Sadly, a lot of us live in a world where I struggle to accept myself, and also I have a lot of other people judging me and making judgments about my choices or who I am and stuff like that. And now let's let's be fair, there can be situations where people come to me about bad choices that I'm making, and they are lovingly trying to tell me that I've, like, come alongside me with the Bible and say, hey, maybe let's look at the Bible together. That they should do that. That's not them judging me. That's us working together. We may talk about that a little bit next week when we talk about what acceptance is and isn't. But sometimes people just make negative judgments about another person. You know, that's not okay. So we have to learn how to accept ourselves in the face of imperfect relationships, imperfect people around us, and our imperfect self as well. And so I think it's important for us to understand that we all need like a safe space to grow and develop. Jesus is definitely our number one safe space. Jesus loves us. He accepts us for who we are. Again, what does Jesus' acceptance look like? It's not just, oh, you know, stay the way that you are. We'll talk about that more in a second. But Jesus does accept you for who you are and love you. Hopefully, whatever congregation you're a part of, if it's not here, somewhere else, or here, there are people that you can find who love you and encourage you and accept you. That is really, really important. And hopefully you can become a person who is safe for other people, that you can encourage and love and accept the people around you. Because being able to do that is life-changing. We'll talk about that a lot more next week, so I don't want to get into that too much, but that's really, really important for us to be able to find that. The last thing that I want us to think about tonight is that God wants us to grow. He wants us to be redeemed. He wants us to accept ourselves, and he wants us to grow. When we think about Jesus accepting us, the image that I always get in my head is in Luke 15, where there's like the three losts. There's the lost coin and the lost sheep and the lost son. I always get that image in my head of the shepherd who leaves the 99 and he walks out into the storm to find that sheep. If you're a Christian, you were that sheep that was lost in the storm, and you were trapped down in the mud, and that's why you couldn't get back to the flock, because you were just mired in mud and you were too weak to get out of the mud. And Jesus, as the good shepherd, left the flock in the fold, and he went out into the storm, and he found you in the mud, and he found me in the mud, and he accepted you there. He found you in the mud, and he said, I love you, I died for you, I accept you the way you are right now, I love you. But this is what he didn't do. He didn't say, I love you, I accept you the way you are right now, now let's just stay here. You just stay here in the mud. It's fine. No, he lifted you up out of that mud, and he carried you back to the fold, and he said, okay, let's go. Now it's you and me. Let's go together on the path, and let's grow. Jesus meets us where we are, but then he doesn't just say, okay, now just stay there. So acceptance is not like approval of sin. It's not saying, you know, oh, it's just fine. Just do whatever you feel like doing. That's not what acceptance is. Maybe that's what, you know, the world wants to define acceptance is. That's not what the Bible says acceptance is. But we do need to accept people. We need to meet people where they are and let them know that they're loved and that Jesus will meet them there and save them. But then let's grow. Let's go. Let's grow. So what's the image that's used over and over again in the Bible when we talk about growth, when we talk about people? It's one of my favorite images. It's trees. I'm going to give you a homework assignment, and I've given this homework assignment before, and nobody does it. I say nobody does it because I really want you to do it. Take a picture of your favorite tree in your neighborhood and text it to me. You can send it to me on like Facebook Messenger or something, or like you can send it to my mom and she'll send it to me. I love trees, and I'm happy that it's a very biblical thing to love trees, because if you go through the Bible, God is always talking about people like their trees, or he's always using trees as a metaphor for people, and it makes me super happy. We're gonna go to Psalm 1. I'm not Dan, but I'm gonna impersonate Dan for a second and read a psalm. Psalm 1. You guys know this one, probably. Blessed is the one who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Verse 3. This one is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in the season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. That amazingly powerful image, you guys have probably heard me say it before, I can't help it, it's like, I love it. That God says, if I spend time in this word, and I just, this word gets into me because I meditate on it, that I am like a tree that's planted by the water. You guys are having a little bit of a drought issue here. I get the feeling, like I look around, there's a bit of brownness. I'm used to seeing green whenever I come here. Like where we live, it's just brown. And like, I look forward to coming here and everything's green. And there's still way more green than we have, but you know, I can see the brown. But when there's a tree planted by waters, it doesn't have to worry about that, right? Because it always has that source of nourishment. And he says that's the person that's in a relationship with God, that has God's word, that's meditating on his word. They have that constant source of nourishment. They're that tree. Well, now, how does a tree grow? How does a tree produce fruit? When Piper was a little girl, we moved into the house we're in now. And I planted some trees in the back. And she was playing in the backyard. And she came over when I was planting a lime tree. And I, you know, it was just like a little sapling that I was putting in. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I'm planting a lime tree. And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, you know, like limes we get down at the store, you know. And she's like, oh, cool, you know. And like 2 or 3 days later, like we were outside and I was like kind of watering some stuff or whatever. And she like came over and looked at the tree and she's like, where are the limes? So we had to talk about how trees work and how fruit grows, right? And that there wasn't going to be any limes for maybe a few years, you know. Like we get limes off of it now, but that was like 6 years ago, you know. Trees take time to grow. You take time to grow. God does want you to change your behaviors. He does want you to change your mindset. That takes time. Fruit takes time to grow. When Paul talks about in Galatians 5, when he talks about that fruit of the Spirit, that when you become one with Christ, the Spirit of the Lord dwells within you. And you spend time meditating in the Word, and God's Spirit and the Word are resonating in your heart. All that beautiful fruit that's talked about there, it doesn't just, you know, it takes time. So we have to be patient with ourselves. We have to be patient with each other. But we do have to do the things that we can do. Like, I'm as patient as I can be with my trees, but I mean, I keep watering them, and I keep fertilizing them, and I keep making sure that they're getting the sunlight that they need. I keep making sure they're getting the things they need to grow and develop. We need to be making sure I'm giving myself the things I need to keep growing in my relationship with God. And the things I need is the Word and my fellow brothers and sisters and time and prayer, right? There are some other things than that, but I mean, those are the core things that each of us need, right? So, our walk in Christ, it's a life's work. Can we be patient enough with ourselves? Can we be patient with each other? Can we see the redeemed life that he's offering us? If you're not a Christian, he's offering you that redeemed life tonight. If you don't choose it tonight, he's still offering it tomorrow. As long as you're still drawing breath, he's offering it to you. The catch is, none of us know how much longer we're going to be drawing breath. So, you know, it's a choice you need to think about. But he wants to redeem who you are. He wants you to accept who you are. And he wants you to begin to grow through him and with him. And if you are a Christian, continue to be patient with yourself. Give yourself time to have a little bit of introspection and say, am I accepting myself for who I am? Are there things about me that I'm tearing myself down about that I'm not being fair to myself? And do I need to change the way I think about that? Because God's not tearing me down about that, so maybe I shouldn't. And maybe that energy would be better served focusing on things that I know I can do and accepting myself and heading in those directions. Because the better we're able to do that, I think the better we're going to be able to do the things we're going to talk about next week, about the way we treat each other and the way that we interact with each other. Because all of this is being the person and then being the community that God wants us to be. And that's the goal, right? Is us being a community of believers that is building each other up and reaching out to the wider community around us to teach them about Jesus. I'm so thankful for the time you guys gave me tonight. I've given you a little bit extra time tonight. So maybe you can have some time to, I don't know, take a walk and look at trees and pray and send me a picture. Thanks very much, guys. I think we got one more song, man. Is that right?